Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Well, hey, everybody. The band set for the fall is back with a new single and video called Product of Pressure coming out this Friday. Let's listen to the call that I had with them last week.
While we're waiting for everybody else to get here, Donovan, I saw your new guitar on Facebook. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so what's special about this that I thought was super cool is the fact that, well, one, this was Harrison's old guitar from like years ago.
Oh.
Like it was one of his first ones. And then he ended up trading me for this for some other stuff I had. But I hated the color of it. So I was like, let me just have fun with it. And I just decided to sand it, which was a horrible experience. Never doing that again. First, I never sanded anything in my life. So that was a learning curve. And then I found this neck through a company out of Asheville, North Carolina, which is like an hour from me. But what's cool about it is it's an aluminum neck. So it's metal.
Mm.
And it has carbon fiber fretboards and a brass nut. So it's like, it's super unique. And it's super like unique sounding. So it's like super cool.
Got kind of a hybrid.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's why that's Illuminati guitars, because aluminum.
Yeah. And they spell it like aluminum.
Like, yeah. Not like illumin.
Yeah. James was like super cool. Like it almost didn't even happen because I wanted it for the music video. And we were running into like so many issues with doing it because I was planning to get the Illuminati bridge. Because I essentially took all the hardware off and I just had like a bare guitar with nothing on it. Mm-hmm. And then I was planning just to use his bridge. So when I went up there, like the day before the music video, to get everything set up and get the guitar done, because that was the last like piece of the puzzle. And he was like, hey, I need your like other part of the bridge that it came with. And I was like, what do you mean? I thought I was buying the bridge. Because like I said, I'm not like a big tech person with gear. Yeah. And I just know how to play it really good, you know, so and so it was just
that's
like
the important part, right?
Yeah. I was just like, what do you mean the other part of the bridge? And he was like, yeah, I need your other gear. And I was like, it's not here, it's an hour and a half away in my house. So me and Harrison literally drove around Asheville for an hour trying to find the other half of a bridge that I can like put into this guitar, even though I already had one. But so we ended up finding one down the road for like, I don't know, what was it, Harrison, like $30, which is super cheap. I was so shocked. And yeah, I ended up getting it. He installed it. And then, but then we ran into another issue. Remember, Harrison, it was like, well, we need you to have the stop tail so it doesn't move. And I was like, oh my gosh, dude. I was like, can we at least do this with a normal fender bridge? Like, can I just use the bridge I just bought? And he's like, oh yeah, we could do that. I was like, why didn't you tell me that? Like, why didn't you just say, hey, we could just use this bridge. And I was just like, I was freaking out because in my head, I was like, I'm leaving tomorrow. I want this in the music video. Like, how do I make this work? Let's get it done with. And he did it. He put it all on there and he set it up for me. And he was just like excited about it. And I was like, dude, this is sick. I know it was a hassle for sure, but we got it done. So that's the most important part.
Well, Harrison, you just got sponsored by PRS.
I did. It's a lifelong dream come true. I've been hitting them up for years now, and it's finally happened.
How?
Decipher Down was going out on the Death by Admiration tour with Seventh Day, I needed a guitar for that run, which is funny because it didn't end up happening. It didn't end up getting built until like a year after that tour even happened, but it's all right. I still got it. I made do with what I had.
So what have you got?
I have a Paul Reed Smith CE24. It's flat black. Mm. It's got Tremonti pickups in it, and it is my favorite thing since sliced bread.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So, Joey, you still driving?
Well, I probably will be soon. I've just been doing a mixed bag of things because we have been very, very busy.
Harrison, are you still doing pizza?
I'm doing it right now.
Still at Pizza Hut, all right?
Yeah.
And what about our big Noog? What are you up to?
Doing the landscaping stuff, studio stuff.
You do landscaping?
I do. I have the tans to prove it.
What about you, Donovan?
I manage a coffee shop, a local coffee shop where I'm at.
Nice.
Yeah, so I never knew anything about coffee. And I walked into a coffee shop that opened up the road. And they're like, you should work here. And I was just like, I'll work here. if you work on my schedule. And they're like, what's your schedule? And I was like, I can leave whenever I want. Cause like nobody does that. You know what I mean? Like that's just an impossible request. And he was like, that's fine. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess he didn't really believe me. Cause that was like, what, 2021? Music was still in a weird little spot. So like touring wasn't a big thing yet until like the Relentless Blood tour that happened with the protest recently. I was like, all right, I'm out. And then he was like, whoa, wait a minute. What? I was like, you remember the agreement we had? I was like, this is it.
So before you got hired, did you know anything about coffee?
No, at all. Like, I just knew how to drink it. And and I mean, all I knew was just I just went to Starbucks and I got a white chocolate mocha with some cinnamon dolce. And that was it. And then I never knew what I was even ordering. I would just be like, yeah, let me get that thing. And they'd be like, okay. But now I'm like super deep into it.
Well, besides all your regular jobs, it looks like you've got a lot going on with Set for the Fall. You've just added a drummer who happens to be someone I know.
Big Nug.
Big Nug. Big
Nug McLean.
Big Nug McLean. Are we going to give your first name or are we hiding it?
That's his name.
That's it.
Big Nug.
It's on his birth certificate?
Yeah, he's about to get it. Yeah, we have that in the works. We have the Secretary of State.
Changing it?
Yeah.
So what did they do to talk you into this, Dylan? I mean, Big Nug.
We held him at gunpoint.
It was like a medieval style bag. You know, there was a sacrifice.
Right. We had to sacrifice our sound just to get him to come in. Just kidding.
That was dark.
It's not a sacrifice if it gets better finally.
Oh! Nice.
They didn't want to take my electric flute audition.
No, we said, look, we'll stick with the drums. We'll go with that.
Somebody want to tell us what's new with Set for the Fall?
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
We recorded our first song back. It's been 5 years since Still Just Breathing came out. We recorded one song in Nashville with a producer named Andrew Bayless. He just did Jelly Roll, Nothing More, song with Lacey. I think he worked on that. He's just working with everybody right now. And
we met him when we were on tour years ago. With Convictions. Yeah. And we went to his house after a show and cooked hot dogs. And then we were like, we got to work with him. And we eventually got the chance to. He moved to Nashville from Ohio.
We got in right as his prices quadrupled, which was really cool.
Congrats.
Yeah. It was cool. So with that story, when we met Andrew Bayless, he invited us over the next morning to his house to hang out and talk at a studio in Ohio. And at that time, we were living in our van, like traveling, like as a band does. And Joey had brought his little gas grill. We would be cooking hot dogs and stuff like that on it in like Walmart parking lots or something. And so it was snowing in Ohio at the time because this was like December time frame. The guitarist from Siler was at his house recording some stuff at the time. And so we're hanging out on the couch and like Miguel from Siler walks in and I mean, immediately, I'm just like, damn, this guy's a rock star. He just got off the Beartooth tour. I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm appreciating this, like, this rock star moment with Miguel. And then Joey pokes his head in from the door full of snow in his beard. You guys want some hot dogs?
And he just I think I have a can of chili just sitting on top of the grill.
And he's just pointing, you want a hot dog? You want a hot dog? And he looks at Miguel, and then Miguel's like, no, I'm good. And he's like, you don't want a hot dog? And he was just like, yeah, okay, I'll take a hot dog. And
I think he ate three hot dogs. I'm pretty sure he ate
three. But that's just like that's one of the most funniest things to me. That's it. That was the first thing that happened. Like, I feel like you got to take it even further back from that. Before that Andrew stuff happened, like meeting him, but like how it all kind of came to fruition. You know, because, you know, like COVID happened and all that stuff. And then we got back together because we had some shows that were postponed due to COVID. And I had actually left the band during this whole time, and it wasn't because I hated anybody, it was just because I needed a break, you know, like having that COVID break. Yeah, like I was like, this is nice.
The best thing for all of us. Like,
yeah, it was like, it was like we don't have to worry about like booking shows because you have to book shows 6 months or whatever in advance and follow up emails every day. And
the booking agent, he was like, hey, you guys are technically have to do these shows or you need to pay back the money. And we were like, nah, we'll just play the shows, you know? So
yeah.
I think Harrison got up with me, and then he got up with Donovan, and then we just decided, let's go ahead and play these shows.
Yeah, Marshall filled in for it because it was like Live Fest and all those.
KCF,
I think. Yeah. Because what was funny was I remember Harrison called me and he said, hey, so I know you just left the band, but do you want to play a show? And I was just like, yeah. I was like, I don't hate you guys. Like, it wasn't like anything, you know, like negative towards anybody. I just was needing a little break. And I feel like at that time I was like, I'm ready to start playing again. Because I was already playing with Relentless Flood. So I was doing shows here and there already. I mean, to play your music that you wrote is like a whole different, you know, feeling. Like, you know, not that I didn't write anything with Relentless Flood now, you know, Grizzly Awards, but it's like the stuff at the time, I was just a feeling guy at Relentless Flood, which was also the nice feeling because it was, I went from being a guitarist slash screamer and like slash like co-manager of a band to going to Relentless Flood and then not doing anything but play guitar. It was such a chill mindset. I digress, right? Is that what people say?
Back to the original question.
Which was what's new with Set for the Fall?
So we hadn't really been a band for a while. We took about 6 or 7 months off before, you know, we had to get back together for those shows. But we were just like, let's just have fun with this. Let's just play these shows. Whatever happens, happens. But after we got off stage and we were like, dang, we need to record. We recorded with Bayless in July of last year, I believe.
Yep, yep.
And after that, it was like we got together. We all went to a local barbecue shop to talk and have like a real band meeting again. And we were like, everything has to change. You know, yep. We can't do things the way we had done them before. A whole new look, a whole new sound. Like everything has to be different this time around.
We made some goals and we have stuck to the plan. We have figured out what we want to do and we're doing it, working with who we want to work with, recording with who we want to record with. And we're just seeing it through because it's what brings us joy. We want to give the fans that have loved us this whole time, we want to give them something special, but also show them that we have so much more to give. This is a passion. This is a love that we have. And, you know, that time away helped us refocus our lives. A lot of stuff happened, you know. A lot of people talk about, you know, COVID in general, but, like, life happened to us. I mean, Donovan got married. Harrison moved across the state. You know, I had another kid. We met some awesome people. Big Nug joined the band. I got a chance to hang out with Dylan a lot more, which was cool. And, I mean, he's an exceptional musician.
It's okay.
He's okay. Shut up. So I just realized like how much me and Dylan have in common. You know, it's just we click and we realize that we missed it. And when we
and
get
Donovan
together, we
have love with me. So
yeah, that's true. These are facts. He was basically like, if I'm coming back, you know, I got to bring this other guy, Dylan. So
going back to like what Harrison said, like we want the mindset was just let's have fun with it. You know, because for me personally, it was just so business and corporate to me. The music aspect of it was just not as fun anymore. Like, it's cool, like, you write music with your friends, and it's fine. But, like, that doesn't happen every day. You have to do the emails, and you have to do, you know, the follow-ups with your endorsements, and you have to, like, make sure everyone's happy. There's all this little stuff, and, like, talking to booking agents and trying to get onto tours. So there's, like, a lot of that there when we got back together after those shows. That's when Harrison was just like, let's just have fun. And just enjoy doing this. Let's not get to where it got last time of just being so businessy. Like, let's just enjoy it. Let's write music. So, like, the whole mindset was, like, let's work with who we want to work with. We'll figure out the money. You know, we definitely don't want to do a crowdfunding thing because we want to do it ourselves. We want to do it as independent as possible. And so it was, like, you know, the first thing on our list, like, well, let's think about, you know, producers that we want to work with. We kind of made a list. And then we kind of, like, reeled it in.
The business side, Donovan does and is a lot of what we do because he's very savvy with the intranets. He can move things around and do things on the computer that I can't do and that I don't even want to learn how to do. But even this time around, business-wise, like, it's about creating something new. We're involved in every aspect and we're learning new stuff. So even now we're like, well, how can we do this better? Because we personally want to do it better.
Yeah. So, and it goes into the songwriting. Like, we were just like, let's find who we want to work with. And then let's write with that person. We want to go in there with a complete blank slate and just go like, let's write a song together from scratch. It was scary for us because we've never done that.
I've never been so nervous in my life.
Yeah, so every song that's coming out this year has pretty much been written in a day, opposed to the last record, which took us months.
I was just listening to like a Pete Wentz, you know, we were living in a van when we wrote those other songs. Like, we lived in each other's space all day, every day. We've had time away from each other. We see each other. There's a lot of life that happens between the time that we see each other. We're able to bring everything that we have going on in our lives into a room. It's kind of like with a therapist. Like, these producers are like, all right, what's going on? What do you guys feel like writing about? And then we formulate a song based off emotions and things that we've been dealing with, and having someone else mold that stuff that know, I don't want to say they know better, but like, they're like, okay, that's a strong idea, or those are two cool ideas. How can we put those together? It's making us better musicians. We're seeing how things can be, even if you think that doesn't work, it could work over here. It's just been different. And like I said, I was super nervous, but as soon as we did that first song with Andrew Bayless, we were like hooked. We were like, this is it. We are ready to do this.
Going into it, like Joe was saying, it was nerve wracking because you're paying X amount of money and you're like, what if we hate the song? You know what I mean? Like, because like, we've only
complete garbage.
Yeah, it's like, because you only have a day to write it, and it's not like you can, we'll come back tomorrow, work on another one. You know, it's like, this is it.
Shout out to Evan and Dan for helping us write this song.
Yeah, and like Andrew like does this, he lives in Nashville now, and like he writes a song a day. So to him, it's just another day. Like, and then to us, we're just sitting there like, oh gosh, so what do we do next? Like, what do we do now? Like,
we're coming into a room where they just wrote a song with LaJon Witherspoon from Seven Dust, like hours before finishing that up. It was a cool experience because, again, we're all about trying to do some new things. I will say this personally, the old us, we had a lot of like dreams and goals, but then we just did not capitalize on them. We didn't see them through. So we write stuff down. We talk. I mean, me and Harrison probably have a conversation every single day. Donovan just screens my calls and doesn't answer. You know,
I'm working. What was crazy was,
give him the nugget. Where do we actually record the idea for this?
Yeah. So like we actually, me and Harrison went to Dylan's studio. Shout out to Dylan's little studio. Yeah, it's a good spot. And so we went there and we recorded this like this whole 3 minute long song thing. And, you know, Angie Bayless, you know, the first thing he asked us was, so do you guys have like any ideas coming into this? Like any like song ideas, riffs? And we, you know, I sent him a couple of them.
You should have seen. Yeah, you should have seen Harrison and Donovan. Like, they're like, they had their phones and they were like,
yeah, like we're just scrolling through voice memos. You know what I mean? Like, because like I have so many voice memos.
We have one that sounds good. Just send him that.
Mm-hmm. And he heard the whole song and then he was just like, no. And then he was about to turn it off. Because at the end of that song, we like changed the whole thing, the whole like song style. And we're just like, go, no, keep playing it. And he played the end of it. And he was like, I like that. And it was like, he just took that riff, that one literal
seconds.
Yeah, like not even 15 seconds, probably a bar of a riff. And then created this whole song template off of that. And I was like, how is this happening? Like, he just like took it, just like copy pasted, chopped it up, did all this crazy stuff, work to it. And we were hearing it and he put drums on it. He put synths on it. And we're just like, what is happening right now? Like, this is like,
so that is a lesson. That is a lesson to any band. Do not throw your stuff away. If there's one cool part in that song, there's some producer, there's somebody out there that can help you see that through and make it better, but keep all your stuff. Do not throw it away because it may come into play later on.
It was awesome recording in Nashville with Bayless, and it's a whole new level for us. And we're just trying to keep climbing these mountains. And, you know, it's not about one big victory. It's about little victories along the way. So we're just trying to get as many little victories going as possible. We go in the studio at the end of the month. We're doing three more songs. We got a bunch of cool stuff coming.
And you guys will be seeing more and more news. Keep your eyes peeled on our social media. We're trying to get better about everything that we're doing. If you have any suggestions, I know that Donovan and Harrison will put up, you know, give us your stories, you know, ask us a question. We want to hear from you guys. We want to see what you guys are most interested in hearing from us. If you want to hear personal stories or playthroughs on songs or anything like that, if you're trying to learn a song, Harrison was talking to me about showing people how to play certain guitar riffs, because that's what he grew up doing. That's how he learned how to play his songs. So just tell us what you want to see content wise, and we'll do our best to create that for you guys, but also want to show you guys a more personal side of us. I mean, we're very approachable. We like to laugh. We like to have a good time, you know, and we like to hear what's going on in your lives. You know, maybe we can relate, and maybe there's a song coming out that relates to you and what you have going on. Yeah, just keep checking back and talking to us online as much as possible.
Tell us a little bit about your new distributor.
I guess like one thing I would like to mention is like with Set for the Fall, there's always been this like driving force behind us that besides us like pushing ourselves. Like there's always been something, like we've been given these insane opportunities time after time, and you know, obviously like endorsements and like all this stuff. I mean, cause to me, I feel like we're still like this local band. I mean, I work at a coffee shop and I play in a local band. You know, that's my mindset. You know, and the opportunities that we get given are like mind blowing sometimes, because like, it's like, how do we get that? Like, how did that even come to us? Like for Symphonic, you know, like when they reached out to us, I was like, how'd they get our email? Like, I was like, what? I was like, how did they even get a hold of us? Because like our email isn't anywhere from like what I can remember. Spam always comes in. And it's always these like crazy, like, you know, grow your Spotify and these 5 steps email, you know, like it's always like the spam stuff. And, right. And for some reason that one email that came through, I was like,
It's almost like God just goes, here you go, every once in a while. You know, he's like, hey, I know it's been a little rough lately. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something nice.
For example, like she reached out to us and was just like, hey, I found your music and I love your sound. Would like to inquire about your current distribution. And I was just like, spam. You know, like already immediately I was like, no, that's spam. And then she said a follow-up email, and then she was like, hey, I just want to follow up again. And I was just like, maybe this one isn't spam. And I reached back out and I was like, yeah, I would love to meet, you know, love to keep talking about what you guys offer and this and that. She was in Nashville and we were going to go record with Angie Bayless. So like my mindset was like, well, let's put this, you know, to bed to see if it's an actual scam or not. And let's see if we can meet this person, you know, try to play catfish here. And so like, I emailed her and I was like, hey, we're actually headed into Nashville. You know, we'd love to meet you in person, sit down, you know, talk a little bit about what you can offer us and this and that. And she was like, yeah, we can definitely go out and meet at a restaurant and grab some lunch. And in my head, I was like, okay, that's a red flag. And like, why are you not wanting me to come to your office? You know what I mean? Is there not an office? You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, this is weird.
You got to be careful.
We were like working with Bayless and we're cutting it pretty close to when we're supposed to meet her. So I messaged her and I was like, hey, I'm not sure what time we're going to get out of here. Is there any way we can just come to your office? It was going to be past lunch. And that was like it's called her bluff here. And she was like, oh yeah, definitely. She's like, we're here in downtown Nashville on Music Row. And I was like, oh yeah. And they own like this big building there. And I was like, okay. So she took us up and she gave us a tour of everything, had us meet everybody, and super nice. Like everything was super cool. And
we literally just left with just a bounce track from the studio with Bayless. And they were like, let's hear what you guys are working on. And they turned it up and they dumped it through the entire office. And they were like, okay, that sounds pretty good.
So what exactly are they going to be doing for you? Explain that to everybody.
Yeah. So they're just a distribution company for us. They submit it to like Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, and YouTube and all that stuff. So essentially they just kind of do that for us. Which is like, I mean, it sounds weird that you're like, why don't you just use CD Baby or DistroKid? But like, I think what's really cool with using them, as far as like they reached out to us and like partnered with us, is like, I can just text Madison and be like, hey, how do I fix this? And then like in like 10 minutes, she's like, oh, that's how you do it. Like, I don't have to call an 800 number. I don't have to email someone and wait for someone to reply that week. You know, it's just like immediate like results.
So as much as you want to get involved and learn how things work, I mean, they're there to help you make your stuff bigger, better. I mean, they have all the programs that the rest do, but the others, it's kind of like, well, go online and figure out how to do it. They'll work through it with you because they want to see you become successful as well.
And they've also partnered with marketing teams.
Yeah.
People to get your songs in movies, like everything they can get for you that you would need is right there in one company.
And it's also cool because, you know, whenever we're in Nashville and they're open, or we can go have lunch or whatever with the person that we talk to, the person that helped, you know, facilitate all these things for us. So it's a great relationship. We're moving over our whole catalog. Everything has been pretty much smooth as butter with that move. So
is your logo new or is it updated? It looked a little different.
That was a logo that was like kind of in the works forever. And we kind of finally finalized it. It's the SFTF just kind of stacked onto each other in just like a super cool way. It's part of just like the branding, because we have, you know, you have the apple that everyone kind of recognizes immediately for us. And then the only thing I hated about the apple was it was so hard to like put on something. You know what I mean?
No straight edges. It's all.
Yeah. It was just so like weird. So like we needed something else that we can put like on the front of a t-shirt or something that can like be easy to market for merchandise or like whatever we need it for.
I love it. It's very clean. Okay, before we go, are there any last thoughts or anything else you want to share about the new single, Product of Pressure?
It's a good song.
That's it.
It comes out on April 28th.
Dylan, man, a few words.
Yeah, we're playing it. The it is music. The title, I mean, the title itself, like we as a band have experienced a lot. The band has been around for a decade. We've gone through a lot personally. We've gone through a lot as a band. People have tried to put us in a box in certain situations. And with all that stuff, you know, when you are under that much pressure, you're either going to crack or you're going to become something beautiful, you know, like a diamond. We've just decided that all of that pressure has made us into something that we really like, that makes us better, not just as musicians, but as men, as friends. And we're not afraid of telling people we have gone through the struggle. The band has broken up. The band has gone through all of these things, and we are back because we have this tenacity, this drive to just be better musicians, and we're not going anywhere. You know, we realized this time around that it needs to stay in our lives, and it's kind of a kick in the face to anybody who's ever doubted us. That's what the song is. It's like, hey, you can hate us all you want, but we're gonna stay around. So
yeah, I guess like for me with this song, what was super cool, because I hate like saying like this is what this song is about, because like everyone's gonna hear a song that's gonna relate to them in some different way, and that's just the way music is to me. And so it's like
it's subjective.
Yeah, and like for us, like being a product of pressure, like there's a few lines in there that a Blacktop Covenant, and it was like you're making a pact with like touring, and it's like it is like you're choosing that life over like having a career and like a steady paycheck, or like you're choosing that life, you know, like touring it on the road for, you know, if like, you know, for me, like leaving my wife at home and just like missing anniversaries or missing something for that. So it's like, to me, it's like you do all this with the hope that it's going to be worth it. You know what I mean? Because like, to me, I relate to it in that way, and a certain line sticks to somebody in a certain other way. I'm not going to be like, well, that's dumb. That's just the way you relate to it.
To build on that, the sharpening your teeth, which is in the song as well as the lyric, this music, this grind of a life, it's like anything. It's sharpened, it's honed our skills as musicians, as friends, as people in general. But that line of sharpening your teeth on that's what it means. It's like you're becoming a master at what you're doing because you keep sticking to it.
Yeah.
So we didn't go soft on you guys, I promise. You guys are going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I will say this has got one of my favorite Set for the Fall riffs of all time in it, and it's got a pretty nasty breakdown. So I think everybody's going to be very happy with this one. The song really tells a story, and like Donovan said, whatever way you want to interpret is your own preference. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I hope people connect to it the way I connect to it. I mean, I jam this song like once or twice a day since we recorded in July. It still gets me hyped up. So yeah, I'm excited for it. April 28th.
Video and the song drop the same day, giving you two presents on the same day. So make sure you check it out. Tell your friends. We should be putting out some more content and some more info in the next couple weeks. So like I said, keep your eyes peeled to our socials and jump on anything that you see, comment, let us know what you think about it. We just want to improve everything that we're doing. So make us better.
All right. Thank you all so
much.
Love
you guys.
Love
see
you.
See y'all soon, man.
All right. We'll see you guys. Toodles.
See ya.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music. And check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.